The name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. We're often so involved in the sensible world around us and in the pleasures it has to offer that our thoughts of heaven and what it has in store for us make it appear vague and intangible. We fail to realize that the most beautiful, breathtaking experience and rapture that we have ever encountered in God's creation on earth cannot even begin to be compared to what he has prepared for us in heaven. We're much like a young child who has been given a few coins to do with it as he wishes, yet he has no conception of, nor can he even begin to comprehend if told, of the vast fortune of a billionaire. St. Paul repeats the prophecy of Isaiah 64:4 by writing, that eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither has it entered into the heart of man, what things hath God prepared for those that love him. Heaven holds unfathomable delights for those who are saved. Here on earth, all things are passing, and all pleasures, even the greatest, are short-lived, and only too often are followed by disappointment. This makes it difficult to even begin to imagine the eternal happiness and pleasures in store for us in heaven. My dearly beloved in Christ, it is so often the case that things that we most desire to possess, once we possess them, in time do not carry the initial delight which they first inspired. Most often we become bored with them and seek for new, fresh delights. Because of this pattern, we find it very difficult to imagine the happiness and pleasures of heaven to be continuing and uninterrupted forever. Some foolishly fall prey to the thought that heaven may in time become boring. Much to the contrary, heaven will fill us with an intensity of happiness which is so faceted that it will be ever revealing itself in new, deep, and wondrous ways. A vague comparison might be by bringing to mind the greatest moment of happiness, love, and beauty that we have ever experienced here on earth. Then imagine that moment to never fade, but to intensify and reveal itself in wondrous change and depth in an ever variety of ways, never ceasing in the variant joys and pleasures it inspires. The extent of the numbers and varieties of what God has created on earth and in the universe, along with the countless angels, do not begin to show the depth of his love and beauty. There are no limitations to any of his attributes. This might help us to begin to understand what God has prepared in heaven for those of us who are saved. My dearly beloved in Christ, we have certain knowledge of some of the joys of heaven from the teachings of Holy Mother Church. To begin with, there will be no more suffering, no sorrow, fear, or unfulfilled desires in heaven. No matter how well things are going in this life, we're always fearful of the looming cross on the horizon, for we know that suffering comes to all of us. We drag with us the baggage of our past, along with regrets, mistakes, and failures. All this will be non-existent in heaven. We will be free of all burdens. Our bodies, which are the source of much of our suffering here on earth, along with our darkened intellect, will be gloriously changed. After the general resurrection, we will have our body with its members and its faculties, but it will have no deformities. It will be in perfect beauty. Imperfections will disappear, and according to St. Thomas Aquinas, we will arise in the bloom and vigor of youth. The soul will reign supreme and impart to the body a new and glorified manner of being and endowed with the special gifts of heaven. No natural or artificial beauty of this world can even begin to compare with the beauty of our glorified body in heaven. My dearly beloved in Christ, our body will no longer need food, drink, or sleep, and will be so refined, and in a sense it will be similar to the nature of a spirit, while yet retaining its material nature. It will possess agility, the power of transporting itself from place to place with the speed of thought. For example, one of the difficulties and frustrations of living in the Los Angeles area is the traffic, and waiting and being stuck in traffic and delays and accidents. In heaven, we can travel at the speed of thought. Like if you wanted to go to Hawaii, think about Hawaii and you'd be there. At this point, it should be mentioned that one of the greatest of all the physical pains of the lost souls in hell is the fact that they will not be able to move, but will be forced into a small suffocating place in hell in which they'll be eternally tortured. Our glorified body in heaven will also possess a power penetrating all things, even the hardest substances, as easily as the sun's rays penetrate a clear crystal. And we see this in the glorified body of Christ after the resurrection. His body was laid in the tomb, the boulder was placed over the entrance, and he walked right through the boulder. Later, the angels moved it. And then when he went to see the apostles in the Last Supper room, Scripture says the door was locked and he just came in. Our body will no longer be subject to sickness or pain. In heaven there will be no more infirmities, no more separations, no more temptations, no more struggles, no death, decay, or corruption, and above all, no more sin. Our soul will lose itself in the plenitude of God, who is all good. This possession of all good will satisfy our entire being, both body and soul. We'll have the joy of the senses, for God will be able to make us feel the satisfaction and pleasure of the sense impressions. We also have the joy of the memory of the providence of God and His mercy and of our intellect. We'll see all truth. There will also be the happiness of our will, subjugated by God and seeing and possessing Him forever. We will be in love with love itself. Nothing will ever be lost, and all our good desires will be forever fulfilled. Father Herbst puts it well when he writes, "The beatific vision is not an eternal gazing, not an uninterrupted awe of admiration, not a sight of such overpowering grandeur as to deprive us of consciousness and cast us into a state of dreamy inactivity." No, theologians tell us that the beatific vision, considered as a perfect and permanent state, consists of three acts. The first act is the sight or vision of God. This means that the intellect is suddenly elevated by the light of glory and able to see God as He is. If the simple visions that the saints experience, and which were not of the beatific vision, left them in the state of ecstasy, we can only poorly imagine what the beatific vision might be like. The darkness of our clouded understanding completely vanishes. The second act of the beatific vision is the love of God. This love is perfect and inexpressible. It's one thing to know an object, but quite another to love it. Once the intellect is able to see the supreme good, it follows that it would love God perfectly. The third act of the beatific vision is the enjoyment of God. The soul experiences excessive joy as it enjoys God as its own possession, a joy in which its craving for happiness, which is never fulfilled on earth, is completely gratified. It is in this complete possession that brings complete happiness. We'll be happy in loving and being loved. Love that will never fade or grow old. We'll never tire of the beatific vision. Our hymn of praise and gratitude will at every moment be a new one. Even though this union is most intimate, we shall still retain our distinct personality and individuality, but without flaws. This will not be as a drop of water falling into the ocean, but as a drop of oil. St. Thomas Aquinas says, "The glory of heaven does not destroy nature, but perfects it." There will be various degrees of such happiness in heaven according to the merits that we gain while here on earth. We will each be rewarded according to our works, yet we will each be entirely happy and content. For any distinction will not be a matter of contention. Doctors of the church, martyrs and virgins, priests and religious will rightly have a special glory of their own. And of course, the Blessed Virgin Mary rises in merits above all saints and angels taken as a whole. In short, the life of heaven is one of peace, of rest, of intellectual pleasure and activity, of love and perfect enjoyment. We will know for the first time what it really means to be entirely happy and satisfied. We'll find that heaven will be beyond our greatest desires. In closing, with all this in mind, ask yourselves, what sinful pleasure on earth is worth risking the loss of heaven and hurling you into the tortures of hell? Hell is a complete opposite of all mention. Darkness replaces light, immobility replaces freedom of movement, ugliness, deformation, and stench replace the beautiful and fragrant. A burning hatred replaces the love of God. Suffering, pain, tears, regret, unhappiness, unfulfilled desires would be your lot. Be faithful to God while on your short sojourn here on earth. If heaven be gained, all is gained. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.